Matthew chapter 28. Then I'm going to have you, just for the sake of time, I want you to hold your place there. Then turn over to Luke 24. If you have markers, I keep all kind of little markers in my Bible. Turn over to Luke chapter 24. And then Acts, the first chapter of Acts. I'm going to read three texts this morning. And you'll follow with me as I read the text. And then I'll share with you what the Lord's laid on my heart. Before I read, I want to say to you, last words are important. Most of you who have had loved ones to go home and be with the Lord, whether it was your mama, your daddy, your grandparents, maybe a husband or a wife, or even a child, you remember some of the last words, and they're so important to you. You're so thankful. I don't know how many times over these many, many years of pastoring, I've had people tell me that mama was in a coma or whatever, and she roused up for just a few minutes, and she spoke to us. And what a blessing. I've had people say that people rise up and they open their eyes and say it's beautiful and seeing into the other side. I know of a situation where one dear brother was going home to be with the Lord. He had all of his children to come in one at a time, and he talked to them about the Lord, wanted to make sure they were going to meet him in heaven. Those are important times. We have just celebrated the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus spoke to his disciples while on earth. That's not all that he said is recorded, but some of what he said is recorded, and certainly he's still speaking today. But I want to read this morning in your hearing some of the last words of our Lord. In chapter number 28, you have the very familiar passage of scripture here. I want you to look at verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mount where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, he's talking here about his disciples. There are 11 of his disciples. And they're worshiping him, and they're rejoicing, but some doubt. Even in that setting, all that they've been through and where they saw him crucified, and they've heard testimonies about his being resurrected, and he has seen them. Even at this particular time, he's been with them almost 40 days, but some of them still got question marks. And let me tell you something. Sometimes the devil will war against your mind, and you'll have some doubts about something or question about something. And then the devil turns around and he uses that against you. And he says, you're not right with God. You don't love the Lord. If you love the Lord and you'd believe him, you wouldn't doubt him and this, that, and other. He'll cause you to doubt, and then he'll attack you for your doubt. But here, you're in good company. Here are men who have seen him resurrect the dead. They've seen him heal blind eyes and lame limbs. They've heard him speak, and they saw him die. And they know now that he's alive, but there's still doubts raging in their mind. But listen, because of their doubt, listen to what he says. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power's given unto me in heaven and in earth. There's no reason to doubt. There's no reason to be afraid. All power's given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now turn over to the book of Luke. All the Gospels record something that was said by Jesus in the last days of his life, or just before he goes back to be with the Lord forever. I do believe that shortly after his resurrection, he ascended and then came back. We won't go into all that this morning. But here, these are the words that were recorded just as he is about to go to be with the Father and to remain there until he comes back in the rapture of the church. And look in chapter number 24 of the book of Luke. And I want to look at verse number 44. Now he said unto them, these words which I've spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written of the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Over and over again in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly in the end days of his life, you'll hear this statement, and it was done that the scriptures might be fulfilled. It was done that the scriptures might be fulfilled. All the prophecies of Christ prior up to his death and burial and resurrection had to be fulfilled, and they were. And everyone since then in his return will be fulfilled as well. Look at verse 45. Then opened he their eyes that they might understand the scriptures. You and I will never in the natural man understand the truth of the Word of God. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit of God to open my eyes. There are times that I've read old passages over and over again and miss something. And God will show us a little bit at a time sometime. But then he'll open my heart, and he will you if you study the Word of God. If you've done it, I know you've experienced that. You see things you've not seen before. I've heard Brother Barry say, and he's been teaching all these years, almost every Sunday, he said, I saw something I hadn't seen before. Well, that's the Holy Ghost of God. That'll just bless you. You ought to just get to shouting over that he's right there with you to show you and to speak to your heart something new, something that's for that hour, something special he's showing you at that time. So he opened their hearts that they might understand the Scripture, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He said, my death, my burial, resurrection was according and to fulfill Scripture. It was in the determined full counsel of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit of God that he would come and suffer and bleed and die. That was his plan. God had a plan. God didn't have a second plan. He didn't come to the Jews and Jews rejected him, and then all of a sudden he turned to the Gentiles. He had planned this all the time. He knew exactly what was happening. He knew that when Jesus died, he was dying for the Jew and the Gentile and for everyone. He knew the church, but those Old Testament saints didn't quite understand the concept of the church, nor did they understand the concept of the return of the Lord. But in time, God, through what we call progressive revelation, revealed it to people. And here, now he's opened their understanding, and he's telling them that everything's happened was by the plan of God. God had it all planned. How important was the death, burial, and resurrection? It was paramount. If he had not died, if he had not given his life, without the shedding of blood, there's the remission of sin. He had to die. That was in God's plan. Understand this. Before the foundation of the world, he was slain in the mind of God the Father. He died for us. Even before the world was fashioned, God knew it. God had it planned, and it was in God's plan. But now watch this. Watch. Notice what he said. Let me read verse 46 again. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He said all that was in God's plan. It was prophesied in the Word of God. Now watch this. And. This is an and. This means that what I'm about to read to you now was just as surely part of God's plan in redemption of lost men, women, boys, and girls, as was the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You had to, Christ, if he had not died, if he were not risen, our faith is vain, and we know that. But just as important as his death, burial, and resurrection is what I'm about to read to you. Notice what he said. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. He said, part of God's eternal plan was that I would come, I would suffer, I would bleed, I would die, I'd be buried, and that you, and those who believe on me after you. It's part of God the Father's plan for us to share the gospel with men, women, boys, and girls. That's part of God's eternal plan. This morning, Brother Calvin Ramsey went to the prison, as he's done hundreds of times, and he preached the gospel to those who were in prison. This morning, Brother Wayne Wall, Pistol, is at the ball field. He already texted back, had 16 boys to receive the Lord Jesus Christ this morning on the ball field. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. Preach the gospel. That's part of God's plan. Let me ask you, in your mind, if Christ had suffered, if he died, he was buried, he rose again, he appeared to those that were living, and they shouted and praised God and just worshiped, had a great time, and went home and sat down. And that was it. They had memory books about him, what he did, and they wrote down, and they remembered all the things he did while he was living. They remember the sadness at his crucifixion. They remember the joy of the resurrection. But it's a family album. They just sit around the house. That generation dies out. You and I are here today because there were some men and women in days gone by that took seriously their part in God's plan for the redemption of man, and that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, and that we as a body of believers and we who are saved by the grace of God, we are part of God's plan to share the gospel with every creature. That's what we understand. I'm thinking about during the play and after the crucifixion and before the resurrection scene, Nathan comes out, and I don't recall all of his speech. I remember most of it. Luckily, he remembers all of it. But basically, he comes out, and he said, "Now what?" We thought he was going to set up the kingdom. We thought this, but he's dead, and we're to wait. But wait for what? He's dead. And I think about that. What now? What now? What now that he did die? What now that he did resurrected? What now are we supposed to be doing? How are we supposed to react to that? Are we to sit around in a church in a holy huddle and just thank him for it? Or are we just to have it as a private thing that we have at our home and we remember the death, burial, resurrection of Christ? We have an awesome responsibility, and I'm going to share that with you. But I have one other text to read before I get to preaching. I want you to look over in the book of Acts. In Acts, Luke, of course, if you know, you understand that Luke wrote the book of Acts. We just read what Luke had to say. But notice verse number 1. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." That word "began" is very, very important. The work of seeking and saving that which was lost began with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It began with his suffering and bleeding and dying. It began with his resurrection. It began with the empowering of those early disciples to preach. But it continues. All that Jesus began to do and to teach, he's doing it now. He's still doing it, and he's doing it through men, women, boys, and girls. Notice what it says, "until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commands to his disciples whom he had chosen." I've just read you some of those commands. "And to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Ghost, which he said unto them, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, and I will baptize you with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Then they were therefore all come together." They asked of him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said unto them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth." Here he's telling them that here's what you need to be concerned about. Whenever the king is going to be set up, what's going to happen, all that's going to happen. But he said, right now, in this month of April, right now, 2026, right now, what are we supposed to be doing? He wants us to understand that what's going to happen, he's got planned. He's going to take care of all that. But our part in his eternal divine plan is right now. What are we supposed to do? I pray for folks around the world. I pray for different things going on. I have a great interest in the return of the Lord and all those things. But what do we do? What do we do now? And it's as clear as the nose on your face. Let me finish reading this context because it's such a wonderful blessing. "And when they spoke of these things," and when Jesus spoke of these things, "while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. And behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, angels, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing to heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go." They say unto them, while you're standing around, he's already told you what you ought to be doing. He's coming back, and you need to get busy. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God would help this morning. I want to thank you for this church. Thank you for the testimony of it through these years. And our Father, many years ago, there were a handful of believers who loved you, trusted you, and they met and they formed Benson Grove Baptist Church under your leadership. you authorized this. You ordained this. But God, there were men and women who were willing to be obedient to you, who had a burden to share with their children, their grandchildren, and with their neighbors the gospel truth. And our Father, all that we have seen all these years that, Lord, you've let me be here and other pastors prior to me and the great heritage and history of this church, God, it's all because that God's people were willing to do what you told them to do just prior to your leaving. Now, Lord, help me. God, challenge me. God, I'm thankful for all the years you let me serve you. But Lord, please don't let me get cold. Don't let me get settled. Help me to be on fire. Help me to be filled with the Holy Ghost. God, bless this church. Help us never, ever to forget what the focus of our ministry is. Lord, what we're supposed to be doing. And God, I pray you'd help us not only here, but in other places, that God, you'd help us to challenge people to be busy about the Master's business. We know, our Father, that the days are short, but the message is still true. You're still powerful. You're still able to save to the uttermost. And God, please reignite our hearts. Set us on fire to be busy about the Master's business. Thank you again for all who were involved in the Easter drama. Lord, for blessing and, Lord, souls that were saved. We rejoice in that. But God, help us to ever be mindful of our responsibility. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you will allow me in these next few moments, I want to talk to you about this, that the last words of Jesus and his instruction to us. And I'll mention three things. I want to talk about the mandate, first of all. And then I want to talk about the method or the means, how we're going to accomplish that. And then the message that he told us to preach. And it's all in these texts that I've read to you, and I'll make reference back to them. While I will not always turn back to them, I'll do that. In these verses, our Lord Jesus Christ has told them that everything that happened to him thus far was in fulfillment of Scripture. It's part of God's plan. Why was that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. His plan, and he's a gracious God, a blessing God, his plan was to save people, that they might live forever. He had a desire for them to be born again. I was thinking again, Brother Barry, as he was teaching this morning, he was pointing out some things he'd seen before. And when the Adam and Eve had sinned and took the tree of knowledge and evil, they knew the difference, but they didn't know how to do it. They just knew it. God said, we have to do something that if they don't take of the tree of life, because they'll be living in that old sinful body for the rest of their life. And see, he was not punishing them by throwing them out of the garden. He was protecting them. He pushed them out of the garden because he had a redemptive plan. That tree, they could eat of that tree and they would live forever in a sinful, wicked body and never, ever be able to come in full fellowship with him again. But he had another tree down the road that he'd already planned. And that on that tree, the Lord Jesus Christ hung. And on that cross, and he would suffer and bleed and die. And if they would partake of the fruit of that tree, which is the resurrected Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, they would live forever and have a brand new body too. That's part of his redemptive plan. He saved us body, soul, and spirit. And my dear friend, he has a plan. And his plan was that he would save lost sinners. He's a great teacher. He's a great healer, and he blesses us with material blessings and more than we ever would desire. But the main reason that he died was that we might be saved and go to heaven. And he gave us a commission to help fulfill that by sharing the gospel message. And herein is the mandate that he gave to us. It's very clear to us. He said, go into all the world and teach and preach the gospel. Be a witness to all the whole world. And first of all, he said, into all the world and every creature. As long as there's somebody who's not heard the Word of God and somebody who's not received the Word of God, he has not rescinded that mandate or that command. Our job is to share the gospel with people. And you say, Brother Billy, how often should I tell them? Tell them every chance you get. Don't ever quit. I rejoice in every person who's saved, for the young people who get saved at the ball field, young people who got saved. But when I got the text from Brother Luis that his sister sister in her 80s had gotten saved. I thank God for that. And I texted back and put on Facebook, don't ever give up. Keep praying and keep preaching and keep sharing the gospel and believing in God to save them. Here's our mandate. As long as there are people on the earth, and long as there's people who hadn't heard the gospel, and as long as there are people who have not received the gospel, the ministry of Benson Grove Baptist Church is to be geared toward reaching souls for Christ and training them to do the same thing, which is to reach souls for Christ and win their families to the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God that you do a good job, but let's see if God help us. I believe He will, to do more even. What does it say to us? What does this mandate say to us? It tells us that every person on the face of this earth that does not know Jesus is lost, and they need to hear the gospel. They're lost and they need to be saved. Men, women, boys, and girls, everybody you meet at the Dollar General, everybody you meet at school, everybody you meet at work, they're going to live forever somewhere, and they need the gospel. And God commissioned me and you. You'll go places, I'll go places that you don't go. You'll go places I don't go. You'll meet people I don't meet. But your mission as a saved believer, whether you're a member of this church or if you're in the building this morning, you're saved, or if you're in the media audience, wherever you are, if you know Jesus Christ, this mandate was not to 11 men. It was to His body. It was to all who would believe. We have responsibility to get the gospel to every creature. And He said to all the whole world, every person, there's not a Spanish gospel. There's not a German gospel. There's not a Lebanese gospel. There's not an American gospel. There's one gospel. And the same message to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, all the way around the world. It's all the same. We have that mandate to get the gospel out and to be saved. All those, every creature in the whole world, they must hear the gospel of the good news. He wants us to share the gospel of what He did for them. And you and I are the means whereby He would do that. He would use us. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But now notice, if you will, quickly, not only the mandate, but He gave the method and the means. How are we to do that? He said, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high, until the Holy Spirit of God came and filled them. They could not accomplish. He's talking to 11 men about preaching the gospel to every creature on the face of the earth. And no emails, no internet, and no printing presses, and none of those things. And to have a commission to preach the gospel to every creature, how are they going to begin this great task? He said, it's inhumanly impossible. But when the Holy Spirit of God comes upon you, He's going to give you power. But I want to tell you today, He has come. He is here. The fact that you're in this building this morning and that you've already been saved is testimony that the Holy Ghost of God is in this world, because He came to convict you of sin, righteous judgment. He drew you by His Spirit to the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved you, forgave you, and by the Holy Spirit of God, He infilled you with His own person. Came into your heart crying, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit of God is in every believer. If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. The Holy Spirit of God, the same Holy Spirit of God He's talking about that was going to fill them, is in you now. He's still here now. And it's inside of you. He's given you the means, the power whereby you can do your part to witness and to share the gospel with people around you. Now, how is it? He gave us, we have that personal responsibility, but He also gave us a personal representative to be with us all the time. He said, not only would the Holy Spirit of God come upon them, but He came upon us, but He is in us as well. He's with us all the time. He's with us to help us not to be discouraged. The Holy Spirit of God is not a spirit of fear. He will encourage you. The Holy Spirit of God will encourage you to keep on keeping on. He's in you to keep you from getting distracted. Sometimes we get our mind on everything else, even in a religious realm. And there was one time when, you know, it went through the Christian community about casting out demons. I remember that way back years ago. Everybody was all about casting out demons. And demons are in the world today. They're in this church building today. They're all around us. But greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. And God gave us power. But he didn't give us power to cast out demons, although we on certain circumstances we could. Why did he give him power? Gave him power to witness for Christ, because nothing's more powerful than the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. And my dear friend, that's the power. The power is to tell lost men and women who are full of demons to get saved. Listen, if you cast every demon out of them, sweep and clean the house, next day they'll come right back in. But if the Holy Ghost of God moves in, they're saved for all eternity. My dear friend, listen, he keeps you from getting distracted. Don't get off on tangents and don't get involved in this, that, and the other, and every other thing. I want us to be a benevolent, and we are. You're giving, loving, caring church, social issues, and all that. And those are good, but those are means whereby you can present the gospel to men, women, boys, and girls. And the Holy Spirit of God's in you not only to keep you from getting discouraged and not only keep you from getting distracted, but he's in you to keep you from getting defiled. We'll lose our light, we'll lose our joy, we'll lose our power if we allow sin to come in our heart and breaks fellowship with the Lord. We got to stay close to Jesus, be filled with the Holy Ghost of God, let him radiate. I love that passage of scripture when he talks about the disciples and the people saw him, and when they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. There was something about them that they knew they'd been with Jesus. And when you're trying to witness to somebody, there ought to be something about you that they know you've been with Jesus. And the Holy Spirit of God inside of you will help you to keep from getting defiled, getting your mind full of junk, and getting your life full of sin, and all of those things. He's there to help us. But not only is he there, but he's also there to give us determination, to give us determination not to quit. The Lord Jesus Christ said, don't faint. For you reap in due season. He that goeth forth and weep and bearing precious seed will doubtless come again. He said, don't faint, don't give up. You'll reap in due season. It may be a year, it may be 2 years, maybe 10 years, might be 40 or 50 years, but keep on sowing the seed. Keep on sharing the gospel. I marvel, and you've heard the same story in the pyramids in Egypt. They found grain in there 200 years, even before Christ was born. And they planted it, and it came up. You know why? Because there was life in that seed. Life in that seed. And this is the Word of God. We're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's this Word, this incorruptible Word, it's the seed of the gospel planted in their heart. And my dear friend, the Holy Ghost of God's here to help us that we don't get distracted, that we don't get defiled, but he's also here to give us direction, where to go and what to say. He'll tell us, share the Word. Sometime you may have opportunity to present what we'd call the whole plan of salvation. Sometime just a word. And sometimes it only takes a word. One word fitly spoken, the Bible said. And the power of an unction to tell you what to say and how to say it. And God will help you to do that. It's the Holy Spirit of God. He is the ability. It's the Holy Spirit of God. But what is the message? What is the message? To me, it's very clear. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. But in the book of Luke, he expressed it this way. The Lord Jesus Christ said that because it was in God's plan that I die, be buried, rise again, and that repentance and the remission of sin should be preached in my name. Repentance, repentance. Men are sinners. And if you need to understand that sin's not a bad cold. Sin's not having a little bit of congestion. Sin is a fatal diagnosis. Sin, the ways of sin is death. Regardless, the Bible said all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Death passed upon all men in that all have sinned. And it's a fatal diagnosis. It is incurable apart from one thing. There's good works will not cure it. Reformation won't cure it. Education won't cure it. Self-discipline won't cure it. There's only one thing to take care of your sin. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen. He's the only one who can save you. But what must you do? You must repent. Repent means a change of mind and change of heart. It's a 180-degree turn from going away from Christ to going to Christ. It's turning to him and turning away from your sin, forsaking it, leaving it, giving it up. And God will empower you. Say, preacher, I can't get over it. I can't get rid of it. He asks you to just turn to him. Turn from your sin. He'll empower you to have victory, the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. But you have to repent of your sin. There has to be sorrow. The Bible said, godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of. I am convinced that if you ever get under conviction, there's going to be a sense of sorrow in your heart, not because you got caught, not necessarily because you hurt your husband or your wife or your children or anybody around you, but that you've sinned against a holy God. You'll have an awareness of the fact that the God who created you, loved you, gave his son, and you've trampled underfoot the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you rejected him all these years, and you've sinned against him horribly, and when he convicts you of sin, there will be a great sorrow in your heart for your sin. And there'll be a turning. He said, turn us, and we shall be turned. The Holy Ghost of God enables you to turn from your sin and turn to the Savior. And then he said, not only preach repentance, but preach remission of sin. That is the taking away of sin. Doesn't have to do anything to do with reformation. Doesn't have to do with reprogramming your mind. But it has to do with being regenerated, made a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. The remission of sin means that God will remove all of your sin, forgive you of all of your sin, and it's He can do that for any man, woman, boy, girl. Whosoever will may come. And he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. I don't care who you are, how old you are, but if you would turn to him right now, turn from your sin and turn to the Savior and cry out to him in faith, believing, the Bible said that you can experience the remission of sin, taking all your sin away, be removed from you, cast as far as the east is from the west, buried in the depths of the sea, to be remembered against you no more. My dear friend, I encourage you to do that today. But let me make one further emphasis in that passage in the book of Luke. He said that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. It's all about him. It's all about him. Repentance is about him. Remission of sin is through him. It's all about him. We don't preach a Baptist gospel. We don't preach an Assembly of God or Church of God. It's the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about him. And it's in his name and in his power. We are his ambassadors. We represent a holy God and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. He will provide it. He will produce it. And he will prove it if they receive the gospel. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed? Church, I am so blessed that God's allowed me to be pastor here. I hope I get to stay a good long bit longer. But our mission has never changed. Not from the beginning of this church ministry many, many years ago, well over 100 years ago now. And the body of Christ in general, the purpose of the body of Christ is that the gospel might be preached to every creature in all the whole world. Once they believe the gospel, we teach them, we train them to observe all things whatsoever he's commanded us. And there are several things he commanded us, but one of the great commands to us was to reproduce, to reach other Christians. And so when people get saved, they study the Word of God. But we're not here to make them great Bible scholars. They need to know the Word of God, but it is to equip them that they might be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And that they might be filled with the Word of God, that they might be a good witness and share and testify the grace of God. But you don't have to have one day of Sunday school to be a witness for Jesus. Many years ago, great revival sprung up and moving through China. And in a meeting, after one of the great meetings, they asked one of the Chinese pastors, when does a Christian need to begin to witness? He said, I'll ask you a question. When does a candle begin to give off light? As soon as it's lit. Listen, you on fire for the Lord, you get saved, it's overflowing in your heart and life. You'll never be more powerful nor more of an influence than in your early days as a Christian. It's fresh and new and real to you. And sadly, some of us who've been saved a long time, we've settled down. We're glad we're saved, glad we're going to heaven. But we don't have the zeal, don't have the fire that we had one time. That commission's a reality, and we can talk about it, but it's not always a reality. We get so busy with our life and with activities and things, that we've forgotten that we are to be a witness for Jesus, a soul winner for Him. And I'm praying that after the resurrection, He gave these commands, and last words are important. He's still wanting us to keep doing what we're supposed to be doing until Jesus comes. What's going to happen with the war in Iraq? I don't know. I know what I believe about Ezekiel 38 and 39. What's going to happen to America down the road? I don't know that. But I know as long as we have breath and until Jesus comes, we're to be sharing the gospel, and that's to be our main mission, is to win souls. Good times, bad times, war time, peace time. Every time, all the time. Trying to tell men and women, boys and girls that Jesus loved them, died for them, that they need to repent of their sin and believe on the Savior to experience the remission of sin and become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And you can do that today. You can do that in the radio and media audience. You can do it here in this building. First of all, I want to plead with you. Be you reconciled to God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house, he said in a place. I believe if you get saved, it'll influence your family. You have a circle of influence, and you'll greatly influence them because of what God's done for you. I think of the resurrection of Lazarus, and they wanted to kill him after his resurrection again, because they said, for by reason of him, many believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Many believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get saved, they see a change in you. They know you're different. Sometimes we get to the place that we forgot our mission. God's burdened my heart about the need to be reminded for me and for all of us what we're about. We're about presenting the gospel. With all of the means God's given us, personal witnesses I think is the most effective, one-on-one. But preaching, sharing the gospel through the Highway Shepherd and other ministries, emails, Facebook, letters, cards, personal witnessing. But we ought to be so conscious all the time thinking about people that are lost around us and our loved ones. Pray for them. Regina and I pray every night for certain ones to be saved, believing that God can and God will.